Matthew chapter 22. The message today is about right and wrong thinking and something in between. You'll see as I read the passage. Matthew 22. And I want to put two portions together because you'll see the relation of the two and how interesting the contrast is between the two. Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might ensnare him in his talk. So when they speak to the Lord Jesus, it is a trap. They're going to get him to say something, and when he says it, they will take hold of those words and make him guilty before the authorities. So this is the question they ask. Look at verse 17. Tell us therefore, what do you think? Just those words. What thinkest thou? Now, a little farther along in chapter 42, look at verse 22, verse 41. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what do you think? Do you see the picture? They come and say to the Lord, what do you think about this? And then the Lord says later, what do you think about this? So, we'll read it now. Verse 41. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what think ye of the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One? What think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I put thine enemies underneath thy feet. If David then calleth him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word. Neither dared any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now, that is the result of their asking him a question. We're going to read the other passages containing this same incident, also in Mark. So, let us read it in Mark's Gospel. Turn to chapter 12, Mark chapter 12. Because each gospel gives us a little more information about the questioning between the Lord Jesus and his enemies. So let's see how it's put in Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 12, look at verse 35. And Jesus answered and said, as he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, in the Holy Spirit, said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David himself called him Lord, and whence is he his son? And the common people heard him gladly. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 22. 22, verse, or 20, chapter 20, verse 40, 41. Luke 20, verse 41. If you want to understand the reaction of those that listened to Christ when they said to him, "What do you think?" Look at verse 39. "And certain of the scribes answering said, 'Master, thou hast well said,' for they dared not any more ask him any question." That's what they thought when they asked him and he gave his answers. Verse 41. "And he said unto them, 'How say they that the Christ is David's son? For David himself saith in the book of Psalms, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David therefore calleth him Lord. And how is he his son?" Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you that you have privileged us to behold in the Word of God the encounters thy Son had with his enemies. We are thankful for every scene in his life, but especially those, our God, when man would show forth his vain wisdom, and then thy Son, by thy Spirit, manifests his wisdom. We thank you, our God, for showing us what we are. We thank you for showing us what thy Son is. We understand why, our God, that you've given him the preeminent place. We understand why he said concerning himself, "A greater than Solomon is here, a wiser than Solomon, a more glorious one than Solomon." We are thankful for the understanding that thou hast given us of thy Son. And our Father, if we do not have that understanding, may we this morning, as thy Spirit would teach us, that is our prayer, we may understand the wisdom of thy Son, the sufficiency of thy Son, and may we stand in awe of him and marvel at this one whom thou hast sent from heaven to tell us all things. So prepare our hearts by thy Spirit and empower lips to speak the truth. And our Father, we confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. On occasion, the Lord Jesus makes man do one of the things that is the hardest thing for him to do. That is, think. I wonder if when I preach, people ever think. In Matthew 22, the first portion that we read, the enemies of Christ come and they say, "We want you to think. Now, we have a question for you. What do you think?" And then later, he said, "I have a question for you. What do you think?" So, eventually, God's creatures have to do some thinking. He would have us to think about all things. The Lord Jesus said, "Consider the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field." He wants us to think about things, but most of the time we go through life oblivious to the meaning of creation, to the meaning of the sun coming down from heaven. We never think. But on occasion, we have to think. And I rejoice in this, that many times when people come and ask me a question, I have thought the thing through. But I rejoice in this, that if I have not, I will say, "I have not thought it through. Give me a chance to do that, and then I will answer." Most, as in the case of the Pharisees, when Christ said, "What do you think?" they give him an answer without having thought the question completely through. But whenever the Lord Jesus is asked the question, he has already thought it through, and he is quite prepared to give them the answer that they thought was impossible to give. to give them an answer that they thought anything that he said. We will lay hold on it this side and crush him, or we will lay hold on him on this side and crush him. And yet, when the Lord Jesus got through speaking, they weren't able to lay hold on his words from any side. That is the marvel about the Son of God, that there was no question too difficult to ask him. That when we honestly go and say to him, "What thinkest thou?" the answer that he gives will be a question that has been thought through. The answer that he gives will be an answer that he has received from his Father. Never forget that. All the words that the Lord Jesus ever spoke were not his own words, but the words that his Father gave him to speak. Listen to what he tells us in Isaiah. He said, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth mine ear. He wakeneth mine ear, mourning thy mourning." And so the Lord Jesus, before he faced the day, knew that man would come to him with abundance of problems, questions, troubles in their lives, and they needed to be answered. And the Lord Jesus would get up a great while before the day and go out into the desert and pray. The Lord Jesus at night time would lie upon his bed, and the Father would waken his ear and tell him things. So his whole life long was spent this way. It says in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom. How? Because the Father constantly was speaking to him in his ear, and the Lord Jesus was listening. And as it was said of Samuel so long before, Samuel, when he heard, let none of the words fall to the ground. But when God's children often come and hear the word of God preached, most of them fall to the ground. Now, what is true concerning you? It said that little Samuel, a child, he let none of God's words fall to the ground. He laid hold on them. He pondered them. Little Samuel and the Bereans. When the Apostle Paul spoke, it said the Bereans listened with all readiness of mind. And then they went home and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. When a man speaks, some people pay no attention. Others listen carefully. Some immediately take what he says to be true, but what he said was false. And others take what he said to be false, whereas it was true. But a Berean respectfully listens to what the man says, and then he says, "I want to go and search the scriptures, and then I will tell you whether what you have said is right or wrong." So the challenge that is given us in the Word of God is to think through things. It is to exercise your senses. That was the message in Hebrews last Wednesday. It said some people, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And so, false preachers tell us things, and their senses are not exercised. But some senses are exercised, and they will say that is evil, and others, that is good. And if your senses are exercised to discern good and evil, then when the Lord Jesus says, "What think ye?" we will be able to give him a correct answer. And one of the joys of life is this: for young and old to come to you and ask questions, and you are able to give them an answer because years before you had thought through a subject, never told it to anybody else, never thought that anybody would be interested in that subject, and then someone comes and asks you about it. And to their amazement, you say, "Here is the answer." something that God spoke to your ear, and you learned it, and you retained it, and you took it to heart. And that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be people that think. So that when someone says, "What do you think?" Some people say, "I've never given it any thought." Strange thing. Well, if you make that honest confession, if you've never given it any thought, and it's a worthy subject, that means you should go home and give it thought. I promise you this. If you said something within the Bible, and I could not recall where it was, the next time you saw me, I would know where it was in the Bible, because you're not going to catch me. If you said, "Where is that in the Bible?" most of the time, I'll be able to tell you. But if in passing something was mentioned, and I said to myself, "Why, where is that? I never knew that was in the Bible." At times I've gone home and searched and it wasn't. And at other times I've gone home and searched and said, "Why, yes, there it is." So constantly be thinking. Whenever any subject is mentioned, think about that subject, because God will require it of you. When the Lord Jesus speaks, he said, "The words that I've spoken unto you, they will judge you in the last day." You have to think about the words that Christ spoke. In the past week, I have had a conversation with two people that reject the Savior. And I told them this: I'm not forcing my Savior upon you. I'm simply telling you the truth concerning him, that no one comes to the Father apart from Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to save you from your sins. Trust him, and heaven will be your portion. Reject him, and hell will be your portion. I want no argument about it. I simply tell you this. Now, think about it. And one had already thought about it and rejected it, and the other one had never thought about it, but not even take it into consideration. And so, it's already been rejected. It's never been received. What God expects us to do is to tell men the truth and then pray that they will think about it. I've told you in past weeks that when the truth of God gets in a man's heart, Satan comes and snatches it away. Why? Because if he thinks the thing through, guided by the Spirit, he will arrive at what is true, and he will be saved. And Satan knows that, and therefore he doesn't want us to think. He doesn't want the Word of God in our hearts, and so he snatches it away. And then you can think about anything you want to. Think about the world, the flesh, the devil. Think about anything as long as it's not the truth concerning the Lord Jesus. But when men come to Christ and they say, "What think ye?" he says, "This is what I think." And whenever Christ tells you what he thinks, accept it as the Word of God. And this is what some have never done. In the portion that we have read, and I took time to read it to you from Matthew, Mark, and Luke because of its importance, I want you to understand what the Lord Jesus thought. Because I hope by now that you have learned that whatever Christ thinks is always right. At times, when we tell him what we think, he says, "That is wrong." But whenever Christ tells us what he thinks, it is always right. And so often, questions that are unanswerable in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus has made a pronouncement upon them, and the matter is forever settled, because the Savior is spoken. But what has been so disturbing is this, that men who ordinarily are dependable, are good men, are teachers of repute, they hear what Christ has said, and the words that he spoke are not acceptable to them, and immediately they go about trying to make them mean something other than what Christ said. Why? Because they have this much intelligence. If Jesus said them, and he meant them to be true, they had to be true. And in the simple passage that I've read you, the words spoken by the Lord Jesus, this is what he said. He said, how saith David in the book of Psalms, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David calls the Messiah Lord. How is he then his son? And I have marveled at the ingenuity of men trying to take these simple words, these words that are clear, and make them mean something else. What the Savior said was this. He said that David wrote Psalm 110. He said that David called the Messiah Lord. And he said that David was inspired of the Holy Spirit of God when he said these things. And it drives men to madness to have heard Jesus say these things because they do not believe that David in the Old Testament was able to foresee things concerning the Messiah in the New Testament. They say Jesus was just going along with what the Jews in his day thought. He knew better than that. That's one of the lies that they tell. And then they say, why, Jesus is simply saying that, and then they will give you other ingenious explanations. I will not even mention them to you, because Satan has a skill in doing this, making you remember the false things I tell you that heretics teach, and respecting the true things that Jesus taught. But I simply tell you this, that men take the simple words of Christ, and they know that they are compelled to accept them if they are true, and therefore they have to go about with all ingenuity in making them not true, in making Christ not really mean it, in making them mean something other than what they apparently seem to mean. Let me give you this advice. If the Scripture states plainly a truth, let no one ever take the interpretation of the truth away from you. If when the Lord Jesus said this, David, under inspiration, in the book of Psalms, said, and we read these three things, that David said it, that he is the one who wrote that psalm, that there is such a thing as the inspiration of Scripture, and that the Old Testament saints were able by the Spirit to be transported to the distant future and see things that had not come to pass as already having come to pass. But the carnal Christian cannot accept that, and the modernists completely reject it because they cannot comprehend it. You understand? Listen to the interpretation. When David in the Spirit said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Understand what is involved. I understand why anyone who reads it is staggered, because David, hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus was ever born, is talking about the Lord Jesus, something that happened to the Savior after he was born and lived and died and was raised from the dead. No wonder they have to go about seeking another explanation, because the explanation that is naturally and honestly given is a supernatural explanation, and they will have none of that. They say there is nothing supernatural in the Scripture. I tell you that the Bible is filled with the supernatural, and this is what the heart, guided by the Spirit, will accept and embrace and rejoice. Now, you will read in coming weeks, and perhaps I will tell you more about it, when the Lord Jesus was born, wise men came and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Even the enemies of Christ believed in prophecy, and that the Old Testament prophets were able to foretell where the Messiah, when he came, was going to be born. But no wise man, no learned man today will accept such things. They say, it is impossible, and therefore they reject it. But I want to impress upon your heart acceptance and strength and immovability from the truth that is spoken by Christ's lips, so that when a man would come and say something that would contradict what the Savior says, that you would say, get thee hence, Satan. Because it is simply a repetition of the trick that Satan tried upon the first creature in the Garden of Eden. God said this. And Satan and the serpent said, hath God said, if he can move you away from what God has said and make you reject it or give it a different interpretation, then he can destroy you. But if he confronts you as he confronted Christ and he asks the question, hath God said, and you as the Lord Jesus say, it is written, and then you quote the word of God and stand immovable upon the truth of the word of God, then Satan will leave you. But man does not have that conviction. But if he does have that conviction, and he has learned the truth, the infallibility of the word of Christ, and the infallibility of the Holy Scriptures, then he reads them, and knowing that Christ has given this interpretation of them, he rests upon it, and his heart is at peace. Concerning the resurrection, this is what gives my heart peace. You know nothing about life after death. I know nothing about life after death. But the Lord Jesus knows everything about life after death. And the Sadducees, who say, there is no resurrection, there is no angel, there is no spirit, they came and asked him about the resurrection. And the Lord Jesus said that the dead are raised, even Moses in the bush showed, when he said, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. And that is the foundation that my soul is resting upon when I leave this world and go into the next. If the Savior does not come and I am buried, I go to the grave believing God is the God of the living. He is not the God of the dead, and all live unto him. And as living, when Christ comes back with a shout, then the dead in Christ shall rise. And so let any man tell me anything he wants to. My Savior has said that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. All live unto him. Then let them say that when man dies, that cessation of being, he ceases to exist. That's what man said. My Savior has said, all live unto God. And the Savior has said, the hour cometh and now is, when the dead spiritually shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and he that heareth shall live. And he says concerning the future, the hour cometh when they that are in the tombs shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and shall come forth. The Savior has said that. So let any modernist come and try to pervert those words, to change them, to deny them. The Lord Jesus has spoken it. And in like manner, the Savior has said certain things concerning David. He has asked a question, and the answer that they were supposed to give and could have given was not an answer that they were prepared to give. Let me show you why. And this is why I've challenged you for all these years. When Satan gave a scripture, the Savior said, again it is written. Not just seeing one thing, but again it is written. I could have read you the first verse of the first chapter in the book of Matthew, and this is what that verse says. It says that the Lord Jesus is the Son of David. The first verse in the first chapter says Jesus is the Son of David. And so the Savior said, why do the scribes say that Jesus is the Son of David, that the Christ, the Messiah, is the Son of David? Whereas David, in the Spirit, saith, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David calleth him Lord. How then is he David's son? And they could not answer in a word. Why? Because they had seen one verse of Scripture, but they had never seen this verse of Scripture. And somehow they had to be reconciled. And note, you was able to reconcile it. And you were not able to reconcile it until one who is a Jew, later on, at first blind, but then illumined, gives the explanation. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans says, concerning Jesus, born of the seed of David, there he is, the son of David, he said, that declared to be the Son of God. The Son of God. But you just said he was the son of David. But then Paul says, he is the Son of God as well. And then the Lord Jesus explains it to perfection in the book of Revelation. He said, I am the bright and the morning star. He said, I am the root and the offspring of David. Now, if he is the offspring of David, then he's a man. If you have offspring, that is man. If you are the root of David, you are God. Because there's no one who can bring life except God. If you are the source of life, you are God. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the root and I am the offspring of David. What does it mean? It means this. In the beginning was the Word, the eternal Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he became man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the root of David. And the Word became flesh. He's the offspring of David. He's the son of David, and he is the Lord of David, the root of David. But they had never seen that their Messiah was to be God. They had seen that their Messiah was to be man. What were they to do? Had some seen that he was to be God? If they were to see that he was to be man, what were they to do? They had the simple answer in Isaiah. His name is Emmanuel, which is God with us. But the Lord Jesus said, how does David call him Lord? They're prepared to see that Jesus is man, but they're not prepared to see that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. So I ask you, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we rejoice that we are more ignorant than the Pharisees. At one time we did not even know that Jesus was the son of David. But Father, now we know more than that he is the son of David. We know that he's the Son of God, your Son, as well. And we know that he's God manifest in the flesh. That he died for our sins on the cross. And you've given us an understanding that we might know him. Thank you, Father, for causing us to think. And for being able to say, when the question is asked, what think ye of Christ? Whose Son is he? We can answer, your Son, Father, and your Son, David. He is the root and the offspring of David. Both God and man in one person. We thank you for this, our Father. And we pray that we shall embrace him as that. That we shall embrace him as the truth. And we shall believe what he said. And then our hearts shall be at peace. Let us believe what he told us concerning things in this life. And let us believe the things he told us concerning the next life. And then the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Bless us to this end, we pray. In his dear name. Amen.